Scripture reading this morning shall be Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Proverbs 1, 1 through 10. Be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discernment. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instructions of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For there will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent."
It is indeed a blessing to be here on this morning. I want to let you know that if you are visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest, and we are thankful for you being here. I had Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 10 read in our hearing, and we will get to that text as soon as we can. We are talking about the family. And Brother Ryan started us off on last week as it relates to having God in the family. And we're going to continue those thoughts throughout the month of November. And one of the reasons is because when we think about the family, we're not just talking about the husband and wife relationship, even though that is indeed the foundation. But we're talking about every single member of the family. And so whether you are married with children, single parent, divorce, blended families, widowed, we're going to talk about that this month. And the reason why is because all of us are in one of those categories. And so when we consider on this morning, we're going to be talking about some practical points in the home, in the family. Yet, we want to talk about how we ought to have a proper love and respect in the home. In Psalm 127, in verse number 1, Brother Brian did a lesson on this a few months back and did a wonderful job as it relates to how the psalmist, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the Bible, yet the psalmist, who is Solomon, is the penman, was talking about the coming church. However, I'm going to lift it out of its context and talk about the family, because the principle still stands. Except the Lord builds the house. They do labor in vain that build it. It is God that builds the family. When we consider even in the beginning, when God created the man and brought him forth from the dust of the ground, the Bible demonstrates to us in Genesis 2 and verse number 7, God breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a living being. And it was at that particular time that Adam was demonstrating the intelligence that God breathed in him by naming all of the animals. And in the naming of all the animals, he realized that there was not one like unto him, not one comparable. And so God put him to sleep and brought forth a rib and brought forth the woman. And then it was Adam who said in a monologue, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she came forth from the man." God builds the house. God builds the family. So I'm not out of order lifting Psalm 127 out of the context for principle's sake, but I wanted to be fair just in case you wanted to tug on that. However, when we consider how God builds our houses, how God builds the home, how God cultivates love and respect, I hope, pray, and trust that you're here. And the reason why is because There is a great disservice going on in the home today, in the family. And the reason why is because of the world around us. I'm reminded of what Paul would say in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, as he is begging the brethren there at Rome, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, watch this. "And be not conformed to this world," the church that has been called out of darkness and now is supposed to demonstrate God's marvelous light as we offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Friends, we have to be careful as the people of God, as children of God, as the Lord's church, the church of Christ, that we don't take on the persona of the world, the disrespect of the world. And many are disrespecting our God in so many ways. Disrespecting our God because we don't even know what a woman is no more. Disrespecting God because we have redefined the family. Disrespecting God because there is no respect for authority in the home. No roles. Friends, when we think about practical points in the family and for the family, there has to be a love and respect in the home. I will go on record to say that as I've been looking at this for the last couple of weeks, thinking about this, been doing an introspective look even in my own personal life, how I treat my wife, how I talk to her, how I see her. And I say, I have a lot to work on. And I'm thankful to have a wife that will don't mind telling me, "You got a lot to work on." Now, you're laughing, but we need somebody that's going to tell us, "I got a lot to work on," but I can't be puffy and prideful and say, "No, I don't." The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 9 and verse number 8, if you reprove a wise man, he'll love you. If you rebuke a scorner, he'll hate you. The more I considered that and thought about the home, the family, God is the one building the home. And so everyone in the family must exercise properly loving their neighbor. And friends, I don't have to leave my house to know that I have a neighbor. My neighbor is the one that I'm in the bed with. The neighbor is the one that's in the next room. My neighbor is the one that's in my house. One preacher said on long ago, "Why would we go to El Salvador when we haven't went next door?" Many people want to put on the mantle of the gospel and go preach the gospel to all the world, but haven't taught the gospel to their own home, to their own house. And friends, perhaps you are a husband and you don't have any children. You need to be teaching the gospel to your wife. Perhaps you're a wife. You need to be teaching the gospel to your husband. What do you mean by that? Living out the gospel in your life. True love and true respect comes when we live out the gospel. And so Jesus was right again as he spoke by God. Love your neighbor as yourself. But before he said that, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And so when we think about the home, when we think about the husband-wife relationship, when we think about siblings, when we think about parenting, friends, all of us have to have a love and respect. But that love and respect begins with God. But where do I begin? I begin James 1 in verse number 5, Brother Brian, "If anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give to all men liberally and upbraid it not." Meaning that he doesn't make fun of us when we don't know what to do, but we know who to go to. We know who to go to. And so, look at James 3. Because in James chapter 3, if I'm lacking wisdom, that means that I need to go to the God of heaven to get that wisdom. And God will grant that wisdom. Who is wise among you and have good conduct? James 3 and verse number 13. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Friends, unfortunately, that permeates the home. Unfortunately, that's in our houses at times. Because every now and then, Mike Bonner wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. Every now and then, I got the wrong people in my ear. Every now and then, I have the wrong influences. You notice I didn't say us, I said me. Now you make the application. Because if our home is going to be saturated and permeated with love and respect, friends, we have to understand that wisdom from below is no good wisdom at all. Brother Royce, just because you don't have any children at home don't mean that Sister Tony doesn't get deference. She's not first place right underneath God. And sometimes we think because I don't have any children at home, I can do whatever I want now. No. As a matter of fact, you have to pay more attention. And we have to teach our children that don't bring the world into the home. Why? Because then we have to deal with it. That wisdom is from below. But notice what he says in verse number 17. Pay attention, friends. I guarantee you, if we're going to have the proper love and respect for one another in the marriage, in the home, our children are going to get along and they're going to learn how to argue and fight fairly. Friends, it has to come from wisdom that is from above. And when we teach them how to fight fairly at home and we look at one another the way that God would have us to look at each other according to the scriptures, therefore, when we come together as the Lord's church, the church of Christ, we know how to treat one another. The home is the battleground. It's the training ground. And I guarantee you, find a man that mistreats his wife at home, he'll mistreat his brother. Some people are so heaven bound and no earthly good. I've been there. Look at verse 17. This is a two-part series. Brother Leon is not going to be preaching next Sunday. I'm going to be preaching. So I appreciate him allowing us to take this spot. Look at verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Friends, when we consider the wisdom that is from above, it has to meet these criteria. This requires labor. This requires work. This requires us paying attention. And it doesn't matter how young or how old we are. Doesn't matter how new we are to the faith. Doesn't matter how long we've been in the faith. Doesn't matter how long we've been married or not been married. Friends, we have to exercise wisdom from above. And so, Proverbs 1 in verse number 7, as we get to the text, the proper love and respect begins with verse number 7, the fear of the Lord. A great fear, a great reverence for God. You can tell when you revere God, when you respect God, because it saturates your mind. It causes you to think about spiritual things. You set your mind on things that are above. You treat your spouse with dignity and respect. You treat the ones that are in your home with the respect that God desires for them to have. And you give one another the benefit of the doubt. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through verse number 8. Don't have time to look into that in an in-depth perspective. However, when we stop and think about this, friends, I need us to consider this. We can be just loud noisemakers in the home if we're not people who demonstrate love one to another in the home. Well, what does that look like? Well, is that just fluffy? Is that just, hey, you're doing great? No, you're telling one another the truth. I need my wife to tell me the truth. My wife needs me to tell her the truth. I need to give her words of encouragement. She needs to give me words of encouragement. I need to tell her when I think someone's hitting on her. I need her to tell her when someone's hitting on me. Y'all with me? Please. It's practical. I watch videos all the time. And I'm seeing how the world, some who have good hearts out there, they're being more practical than some pulpits. It makes sense that counselors and those who are influencers, they have more influence than the pulpit today. Now, it's through the foolishness of preaching that God saves those that believe. This is why the pulpit must be hot and ready. It has to go. And those who are in the pew must allow the pulpit to preach. So you preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Why? Because people need to be reproved. And that's me. I'm not always right. Get married, you'll find out. you're not always right. And just because you're the head of the home don't make you always right. And just because you're gorgeous don't mean you're always right. Just because you know how to work words don't make you right all the time. Just because you don't know how to work words, because you're not a wordsmith, doesn't mean you're wrong. And so, the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, that's the beginning. That's where it begins, brethren. The home, the family, whether I'm at home by myself, I'm single, divorced, widow, widowed, I still have to exercise reverence towards God in the home. I can't be inside of my house watching anything, doing anything, listening to anything just because I'm single. No, sir, no, ma'am. I'm married. I need to have a proper respect for my wife. I need to have a proper respect for my children. And I remember a good brother said to me one time, anytime you're ready to step out, think about your children. That's good preaching right there. That's good preaching right there. When he said that, I'm like, wow. Can you imagine looking your children in the eye and saying, yeah, I did such and such. Friends, I'm saying these things because these are practical points that our world is throwing at us now. I'm reminded in the days of Issachar, in 1 Chronicles 12 and verse number 32, that the sons of Issachar had an understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. Friends, if we don't understand the times we're living in, the home is going to disintegrate. And so the pulpit, we must preach reverence towards God. Can two walk together except they be in agreement? And so, whether we are married, single, divorced, divorcee, widow, widower, perhaps we're thinking about getting married, these are things we need to be considering before we enter into such a grand step. Point one. Matter of fact, Brother Chad, I only got one point. You believe that? I only got one point today. Now, I got like five different points, sub-points, but I only got one point today. You know what that point is? Love and respect requires dot, dot, dot. Let me show you. Number one, it requires Psalm 15, 1 through 5. Please turn there. This is a two-part series. I will not preach all of this. But friends, it begins with honesty and openness with God and myself. When a man or a woman will lie to themselves, they will lie to God and they will lie to you. When your children, and this is why, friends, brethren, watch your children. Listen to your children. When they're not telling the truth, you already know they're lying to themselves. And when they're lying to themselves, they'll lie to you. But when they speak truth to themselves like they're supposed to, then you're working with good hearts. And so we need to be open and honest. We need to be honest with God. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to have those conversations with God that are not easy. We need to have conversations with one another that's not easy. And sometimes telling the truth is not an easy thing. In Psalm 15, starting at verse number 1, listen to this. Young people, please listen to this. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? In other words, who can have fellowship with you, God? Who can be in your fellowship? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth where? In his heart. It begins with me, Ephesians 4 and verse 25. I got to speak truth with me. Parents, are you speaking truth to your children? Children, are you speaking truth to your parents? Husband and wives, are you speaking truth to one another? That's hard. It's difficult. Can you imagine being so vulnerable with the one that you're married to that you have to expose yourself? Hold on. Aren't we supposed to expose ourselves to the God of heaven? Absolutely. It's hard. It's difficult. But if we don't talk about it, then what we do is we hide behind the shadow. We lurk. And just as Adam and Eve partook of the fruit and hid themselves from an omniscient God, an all-seeing God, they couldn't hide. They heard the voice of him walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam, where are you? I hid myself. Can't hide from God. As a matter of fact, we shouldn't want to hide from God. We should have a desire to tell him the truth like David did. David was one that poured his heart out to God. And even when David was wrong, he would pour out his heart out to God. I was talking to Evelyn on the way here, and we was talking about the difference between a David and a Saul. And how David, yes, a man after God's own heart, for sure, yet did some things that it just wasn't right on multiple occasions. Yet he was humble enough to listen to a Nathan. Yet, juxtaposition, on the contrast, you have a Saul. Every time you turn around, he was blaming someone else. Here, we got God. He sends Samuel. He still didn't listen to him. Friends, David did some things he shouldn't have done, but at least he had the heart to turn back to God. That's one that's speaking truth to himself. Look at verse 3. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. There's that language again. He who swears to his own hurt, meaning that he keeps his word, even though he's going to take a loss. He who does not put out his money to that usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Friends, we have to be open and honest with God and with ourselves. A good marriage is going to require some work. It's going to require some diligence. If you're going to keep it spicy, if you're going to keep the relationship where it needs to be, you got to be open and honest. But that's in the home. That's not just the husband-wife relationship. That's in the home. Siblings need to talk truth to one another. And when you find out your children are not speaking truth to one another, you got to nip it in the bud, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. But what if I live by myself, Brother Mike? You can lie to yourself in your house. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Well, what does God say about it? Friends, I'm telling you these things because when you look into the mirror, the perfect law of liberty, and you see how God sees things, when you come out on the positive side, you feel good. And when you don't, you're like, man, I got work to do. The one thing I love about being a Christian, I can go to the God of heaven and I can make things right. And even though men might not accept your apology, God does. If you repent like you're supposed to and confess like you're supposed to, God does. Now, that's free. Y'all can do whatever y'all want to with that. But here's the point. You ought to be honest at home and teach your children to be honest. You're single, be honest. Don't find yourself alone with someone else who is single. Next thing you know, you'll find yourself in trouble. Be careful. Be careful mingling with people that you shouldn't be mingling with. Be careful. Parents, you have the responsibility to make sure that your children have the right conscience, have the right mindset. How do I know that, Brother Mike? You are the moral conscience of your children till they develop it themselves, which means that you have to spend time with them. You got to learn them. You got to love them. You have to correct them. Love and respect begins with openness and honesty. Telling truth to yourself, to your spouse, to your children, to your God. Having a deep desire to please him in everything that you do. And so the home has to be God's wisdom for the world, that they see God working through us. It's hard going to God. I'm just going to speak for me. Father, I've sinned. Well, this is what I did. I'm sorry. You know, 1 John 1, verse number 9, James 5, verse 16, still in the scriptures. And what it does, it releases you. It frees you. And so when we consider this from a philosophical perspective, just consider this, brethren. When I go to God and I'm asking him to forgive me, sometimes I need to do that even in the home. Baby, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have talked to you that way. You know, I've been disrespecting you, baby, all this time. I'm sorry. You're the man of this house. You have the last decision. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be talking to you that way. Practical. Having your children talk any old type of way? No. We have to do better. And that requires transparency and communication. Notice these three things real quick. It's knowing how to speak to one another. It's knowing when to say things to one another. And it's knowing what to say to one another. Let me give you scripture. Let me give you scripture, brethren. Because when we think about transparency in communication, how do I speak? Proverbs 25 and verse number 11. Our words must be as apples of gold in settings of silver. I need to be like Solomon. I'm choosing the right word, the correct word, the most thought out word, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 9 through 11, in order to get my point across that you may be built up, encouraged, helped. Well, he sure enough talks his mind. He sure gets it told. Yeah, but he sat there and destroyed everything along the way. It's almost like that commercial. I'm not going to say the name. My job is done behind me. We got to be careful, friends. The home is where we ought to be being built up, and a place where we can learn and grow and make mistakes and grow from those mistakes. And when we do that, friends, I know for a fact God will be pleased. I don't have no clock back there, so I got to see what time it is. I only been going 26 minutes, so I'm good. In all seriousness, love and respect in the home, it goes a long way. When I was a kid, we never called a grown-up by their first name. We just didn't do it. I just didn't, as a 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old, I didn't call someone who was 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, 70, hey, John, it just never happened. I remember I was talking to my aunt one time, her name is Beverly. Hey, Beverly, my mom, like, she gave me that look, and I went just like that, because I knew I was in trouble. But it wasn't the fact that I called her by her first name, it was disrespectful. So what's the point? Well, love, respect, transparency, communication, we need to be respectful. Even when we're fussing and fighting as husband and wife, as brothers and sisters, as aunts and uncles, we need to know how to say, when to say it, and what to say.
So I'm saying all these things because I've been working on this too. And you have to get to a point in the home where you can be open and honest and remove all masks. Friends, these are just practical points. It's unfortunate that the influencers are speaking more biblical principles than some pulpits. And total disrespect goes on in the home. And that should not be the case amongst God's people. If my wife and I, if my brother and I, my sister and I have a disagreement, we're not fisticuffing. We're not throwing blows. We're not hurling insults. Because there's still a God in heaven that looks down and he hears and sees. That's respect. That's genuine love. Why? Because I'm looking out for what's best for my brother or sister. And when I look at my spouse as my brother or my sister in Christ, or if I look at my sibling as my potential brother or sister in Christ, and if we're both Christians, that is my brother and my sister in Christ, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Let me show you. We referred to it. Now, let's read it. It's so important, friends. One brother was preaching one time, and he was talking about how his wife got upset with him. And the reason why she got upset, Bryson, is because she would ask him to take out the trash. He said, I'll get to it, baby. I'll get to it. I'll get to it. And he said, one day a sister had a flat. And he said, hey, baby, we need to go help sister so-and-so. She said, hold up. Hold up. Hold up. I always ask you to take out the trash. It's about an hour or two. Sometimes you don't even get to it. That sister called, and next thing you know, you get me up and we're going. You ain't even blink. Well, that's a good lesson right there. That's a good lesson. You ain't married now. You probably won't get it, but you'll get it when you get older. That's a good lesson. You know who you ought to be treating with the utmost deference, respect? Those in your own house. And God even teaches us as the people of God that we ought to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long, verse 4. It's kind. Does not envy. Does not parade itself, meaning look at me. It's not puffed up. It's humble. Does not behave rudely. It watches its actions. Does not seek its own. It's not about me. It's not provoked. One translation says easily provoked. You can tell when people are easily provoked, their love just needs to be bolstered up. Just help them bolster it up. And this is why you got to look at the heart of the individual. In the home, these practical points, we need to look at one another's heart. I know for a fact that my brother, my sister, my husband, my wife is not trying to do harm to me. So why am I trying to destroy them when I disagree? And in the home, that's what happens sometimes. And that should not be the case. We serve a merciful God. Yes, he's a God of wrath. We understand that. But his first instinct is not to destroy us. He tries to help us. And so notice, friends, what he says. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love never fails. Friends, we have to know how to speak, when to speak. We need to know what to speak. We need to watch our tongues. Let's exercise some good wisdom when we're talking to one another. We can build up each other. Well, how do I do that, Brother Mike? Well, we do that when we are concerned about our actions, when we care about how we behave, when we seek to comfort and we have true conviction. Love and respect, friends, is so vital in the home. And in the home, we need to care for one another. And this is old saying where people don't care what you know until they know that you care. It's still, that's in the home too. When your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, siblings know that you truly care about them, when you get to talking to them about tough subjects, they're willing to listen. But when you haven't listened for a week, month, year, two, they done checked out. I done used this a lot here lately, right, Evelyn? We have some folk that have just checked out. Friends, be careful when you check out. Because when you check out, something else can check in. And it's not always good. So let me encourage you. I'll leave you with this. I'm going to encourage you. Because next week, we're going to further the point. Because the family is so important. It's so important. And no wonder Satan has attacked the home by attacking the man in the home, by attacking the family, by trying to redefine the family. Friends, God loves his family. He loves the family. So what are some ways we can show concern? We can pay attention to one another. We can be intentional and remain connected. We can seek one another's best interests. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Ephesians 5, 25. 1 Corinthians 13, 5. Number two, how can our spiritual lives help one another to love and respect each other better? By being consistent in our exposure to faithfulness in the church, in the Word of God, in our prayer life, meditating, studying to show ourselves approved unto God, making sure that we think like God. Friends, if you spend a day or two or three out of the scriptures, you will see it. When was the last time you just had just a good dose of the Word of God? When was the last time you just studied to show yourself approved? When you had an issue that God, and let me say this, God speaks about every single issue that we go through. He has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. But we got to go to the Word of God and not lean on our own understanding or lean on the influencers or lean on those who think that they are the experts. Let me tell you who the expert is. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the expert. Go to the Word of God. And sometimes, even some of us, you can come to me and I might not give you good advice, but you better check me. But I know there's one that will never give you bad advice. That's the one that wrote this book. It's good advice in this book, and it leads to life. And so, what are some practical ways we can comfort each other? Because sometimes we just need someone to put their arms around us. Well, learn to listen with the intent to hear. In Proverbs 18 and verse number 13, a fool answers a matter before it's heard. The last thing you want to keep doing to someone that's in your home is to answer them, because you already know where they're going. Well, they just want to be heard. Hear them out. Being in the moment, not absent or aloof. Knowing that when we extend mercy and grace to one another in the home, they're encouraged. Friends, I was thinking about this all week, and I said to myself, and this is probably not going to be well liked, but that's fine. Let me tell you why it's fine. Some of the things that I had to learn even about myself, y'all pray for me. I need to get some of that stuff right. Because if you're not careful, you can get so far off center that you can't find the center. This is the center. And I learned, Mike Barner's not always right, but God is. Let's have a word of prayer. The lesson is yours. Holy God and Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, we're thankful for your love. We're thankful for your son. We're thankful for the church. We're thankful for the family. We're thankful for the words that you have left us in your word, that we can actually work on our lives and be the people that you've called us to be. Father, sometimes we hide behind masks. And even the world, even those who study the psychology of men, they understand that 99% of us have masks on. Father, help us to be transparent. Help us to be wise. Help us to go to your word. Help us to be true. Help us to receive correction. For those whom you love, you correct. And Father, help us to be a congregation that's willing to continue to grow and develop and learn and be the people that you've called us to be. Father, we know we're not perfect. And Father, if at any time we claim that, we're sorry. But we love the one whom you sent that is perfect, that never made any mistakes, that always did those things that pleased you, never pleased himself. Help us to be like him. Help us to be parents that teach our children that it's okay to make mistakes, Father, as long as you learn how to correct those mistakes and that you learn from them. Help us to be those type of people. Help us to never be a type of people that want to crush one another, because we're servants of your son, Jesus the Christ, not one another. We serve one another in love, Father. We know that. We pray that we'll always have that mentality and attitude. Help us to be true because you're true. Help us to be holy because you're holy. Help us to be righteous because you're righteous. And Father, we pray that our families will have the mind of your son, Jesus the Christ. And Father, we ask that you forgive us when we fall short, when we sin against you, when we're high-minded and arrogant, when we do things and think things we know that are not right. Help us to get those things right. We just want to be like your son. But Father, when we're doing what's right, holy, righteous, and just, help us to be emboldened and encouraged and structured to do more of those things, that by habit we can be the people that you've called us to be, and then others will see the good that's in us and glorify you. Again, Father, we're sorry when we're not the people we need to be. And we ask the Father that you be merciful unto us. Extend grace to us. Be long-suffering to us. Give us time to make things right. Father, we just want to do what is right. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want to encourage you to be part of this family, the family of God, Christian, member of the Church of Christ, by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will do something amazing in your life. He'll wash away all of your sins. He'll cleanse your conscience from dead works that you may serve the true living God. Hebrews 9, verse 14. Faithful unto death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. His son will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I make you rule over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." Maybe a child of God, and Well, you just have things you need to be working on. Let's work on those things. From the pulpit to the back pew, I'm telling you, I'm working on some things. Y'all pray for me. I need it. I'm not right sometimes. But I still have a responsibility to be a man of God. I still have a responsibility to do that which is right by making things right. Just like the rest of us. And when you find a perfect man down here, you show us to us. We love to see him as we stand and as we sing. I receive this invitation.